right. How's it going, everybody? It is January 30th, 2023. Raw just went off the air. Pretty damn good follow-up to the Royal Rumble. And we are right on the path of Elimination Chamber. And then after that, it is all roads to WrestleMania. Hope everybody is doing well. Maybe you have caught up on a little bit of missed sleep from this weekend. I will tell you that tonight's show is going to be a pretty tight and quick one. We're going to talk about Raw, talk about some updates to WrestleMania, all the latest with Elimination Chamber, and a few other news tidbits as well. A little quick plug for those that are interested. We talked about this several weeks ago, podcast Forbidden Door, with Misha Montana, the girlfriend of Matt Riddle. I talked to her today, and it looks like we're going to record our conversation this Thursday. And we're actually going to probably, well, we are. We're going to have a little Matt Riddle contest attached to it to get some memorabilia straight from the original bro himself. Now, I have an idea. I got to run it past them first. But I was thinking about doing a predictions contest. We leave the contest open for 7 days or maybe up until this Monday's Raw. And maybe everyone will get a chance to predict when Matt Riddle will return to TV. I know the date, but maybe we do that as a contest. I'm not sure. So no one leave your predictions yet. If we do that, I will have a special thread for it. If not, then maybe we'll just do a random giveaway. You know, Royal Rumble, I don't need to reiterate everything that has gone down. We've actually, this is the second show we're doing after the recap. And by the way, for those that tried to watch my review late Saturday, early Sunday, but it was offline for a little while, when I go like this on YouTube, you could click and go check it out. Audio only has been up there the whole time. Patreon has been up there the whole time. I had to edit out a couple of video clips that went way too long. You know, we've talked about this before. You know, I've talked to WWE in the past what I'm allowed to do and not allowed to do when it comes to posting video. And because Royal Rumble ended so late, and because we wanted to get the review going right after, I didn't have time to edit some clips. And they went a little bit long, and the algorithm zapped it, and I had to edit it. So, but it's fine now, and, you know, I appreciate all the kind words and the recap. I worked very hard on that, and especially since we pretty much ran the table with predictions. Now, a lot of Elimination Chamber ramifications are coming out already, and some WrestleMania as well. Now, the first thing, before we get into Raw, a couple of things I want to get into right off the bat I think is very, very important. And this is probably, well, this is definitely the most important tidbit to get into today. And that is this. Now, obviously, we all knew that Cody was facing Roman Reigns now at WrestleMania, but they made it clear and concise today, despite all those sites that were predicting in the last 24 hours that Cody was going to challenge for the WWE Championship and not the Universal Championship. Well, they just keep getting it wrong. He is facing Roman for two championships. So as of right now, if it stays as is, Cody Rhodes looks like he will be your next WWE Unified Universal Champion. So he will come out of WrestleMania likely with two titles, which means he will have to defend both those belts. He's going to be a fighting champion defending both of those belts. Very interesting to do that. Now, something else. WWE, if you paid close attention today, they played both sides of the coin. And I love when they do that. This has to do with Seth Rollins versus Logan Paul at WrestleMania. Coming out of the Royal Rumble, especially that we know now that Roman is only having one match at Mania. All the buzz the last 36 hours is that Seth Rollins will likely face Logan Paul. Well, if you paid close attention to Raw tonight, Corey Graves went out of his way and said something that I found very, very interesting. But later on, Seth Rollins kind of did the opposite. Corey Graves, when he was talking about Logan Paul eliminating Seth Rollins, Corey Graves was downplaying it. Like, look, you know, somebody, you know, you get eliminated, you know, that's just what happens. Like, he was just saying it's like matter of fact, like really downplaying that, it, you know, it's just, it's part of the Royal Rumble. You get eliminated, you know, everybody that Brock eliminated, are they going to go after Brock at Mania? You know, you know what I'm saying? Like, he really downplayed it. Go back and listen to the comment. It was during Seth Rollins' match against Chad Gable. But on top of it, later on, Seth Rollins is interviewed by Kathy Kelly. And when asked for a comment about Logan Paul eliminating him, he got very, very serious. You know, he comes in, ha, 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 ha. When Logan Paul's name was mentioned, he got very serious, walked away, didn't say a damn thing. So WWE early on downplaying what happened. Later on, Seth Rollins not too thrilled. Now, as of right now, we don't know what the path is for Seth Rollins at Mania. And they'd made sure to remind you of last year. Remember when Seth jumped on Vince's table? No clear path. So right now I say Seth Rollins versus Logan Paul is still a strong possibility. I think that's the best way to put it. You know, the wrestling news world out there, there's no reason why you can't say it's possible. You know, if put the bullshit aside, our sources tell us this is being considered. You know, stop it. You know, just throw it out there and just say, look, it's a possibility that it could happen. But so WWE today kind of playing both sides of the coin. Now, another thing, Rhea Ripley choosing her WrestleMania opponent. And I think this surprised quite a bit, quite a few people out there. And I'll be honest with you, I think it's ass backwards to a degree, and I'll tell you why. Now, Rhea Ripley's explanation made a whole lot of sense, made total sense. She talked about, you know, 3 years ago being NXT Women's Champion, coming to Raw, getting a WrestleMania opportunity, and Charlotte Flair basically put her in her place. And, you know, Charlotte Flair, she gives Charlotte a lot of credit, a lot of respect, but she just kind of hates how Charlotte, you know, she knows she's got it and she flaunts it and shows it off. And she has chosen, believe it or not, Charlotte Flair to be her WrestleMania opponent. Now, if you tuned in to yesterday's sit-down episode, we had a conversation about Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair. And someone had asked the question, like, could they be the next Rock Austin? And I said, you know, they haven't even, like, had, like, a war yet in the ring. Just because two names are top names doesn't mean that they gel very well in the ring. And, you know, just because Bianca Belair is the Raw Women's Champion doesn't necessarily mean that her in-ring work would go well or mesh well with Rhea Ripley. I think for WWE's eyes, especially Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley, their height is very similar. Their sizes are, you know, quite similar. You know, they kind of look more on equal footing. So it kind of makes sense. But here's the issue that I have with it. And I know we're jumping a little bit out of place, but that's what we do on the show. We talk wherever the conversation goes. Let's talk about Bianca Belair's opponent at WrestleMania. Now, little controversy tonight on Raw. Hopefully we don't get no fucking comments from Nikki Bella. You know, with all due respect, it's nothing personal against her. I vented on Friday Night Show about her. You know, it just, and Bayley, God bless her, with her interview with Ariel Helwani. You know, she didn't say anything derogatory about Nikki Bella, but basically in a general statement, like, look, you know, Bayley put a stop to what Nikki was trying to do. And Bayley, and I don't want to play clips here because I don't want any issues with copyright, but if you tuned into what Bayley said to Ariel Helwani, she basically said, look, I don't want anyone out there to start thinking that the women's division is going backwards, that we are getting opportunity. And she's right. You look at the women and their roster in the division and how they were utilized 5 years ago compared to now. It's ridiculous. But, you know, people just want that emotional. They want to feel like they're part of a movement. And everything that Nikki said was just ridiculous. And Bayley just put a stop to it and said, look, you know, I appreciate everybody looking out for us. And what did we say last Monday on Raw? What did we say last Monday on Raw? That what would you have rather had? A 4-5 minute cage match and it be shit on Raw 30? Or do you postpone it and you do it at a later date and maybe even give them an extra 5 or 10 minutes? And guess what? Next week on Raw, Bayley will fight Becky Lynch in the cage in Orlando, where everything started back in their NXT days. Was that so bad? See, in the world of pro wrestling, sometimes your match gets cut. Sometimes your opportunity gets lost. Sometimes something happens. Things change. And, you know, people, as soon as something changes, I guarantee you there's going to be people tonight because of what happened with Bianca Belair on Raw tonight. And for those that are saying to me, DT, what happened with Bianca Belair? Well, this might be Kevin Patrick's screw up. I don't know. I don't think it was, because they put a graphic that Bianca Belair was going to be up next. There was no segment with her. Instead, we started finding out that the Elimination Chamber is going to determine who her opponent's going to be at WrestleMania. So, miscommunication, production error, time scrapped. Maybe Cody's promo was a little bit too long at the beginning of Raw. We don't know, but shit happens. So, they get their cage match next week. And that's awesome. And we said it last Monday, it was no controversy. Sometimes something gets cut. Simple. That's it. Here's where it's ass backwards for me. Maybe I'll feel different by next week, but maybe, but I don't think so. So, Rhea Ripley, who's a Raw wrestler, is going to challenge Charlotte Flair, who's the SmackDown Women's Champion. Okay, fine. No issue with that. So now you think, okay, Bianca Belair, her opponent should be somebody from Raw. And I personally think it will be somebody from Raw at the end of the day, which is very interesting because if you think about it, both contenders for the Women's Championship may come from Raw. How many times do we say that on this show? So check this out. We have an Elimination Chamber match to determine who Bianca Belair's opponent is going to be at Mania. 4 of the 6 spots have already been filled, and this was based on the final 4 that were in the match. Now, right on the surface, I think that is moronic and stupid, because you're basically now rewarding someone in storyline who pulled number 29, number 30, maybe. You see what I'm saying with that? Especially number 29 and 30. Yes, you could have had 6, 7, 8 women still in the ring when somebody pulls number 29. But when you decide that the first 4 participants in the chamber is going to be Raquel Rodriguez, Asuka, Liv Morgan, and Nikki Cross, you know, to me, that's kind of ass backwards in my opinion. Raquel Rodriguez is not a Raw wrestler, so why does she get an opportunity to face a Raw Women's Champion? Nothing against Raquel Rodriguez. We love her work. Nikki Cross, are you kidding me? With all due respect, I mean, you know, we got the Sanity stuff supposedly coming up. Focus on that. Liv Morgan, I don't have a problem with, but Liv Morgan also, SmackDown wrestler. Asuka is the wild card, though. And I think Asuka, when everything is said and done, I think it comes down to 2 favorites. Asuka, and I think Becky Lynch is still a favorite to face Bianca Belair. However, as of right now, Becky Lynch does not have a qualifying match for the Elimination Chamber. So until that's actually announced, we don't know if she's even going to be in the chamber. Now, so we have 2 spots left. Okay, here's where it gets even more, I think, ass backwards. So now they got to fill those two spots. Next week on Raw, we're going to get a qualifying match. And this is why I think Becky Lynch is going to be involved with this. The fact that they did not announce the second qualifying match next week tells me that because of the cage match, they have to wait a week. I think the following week, Becky will be in that match. Maybe Bayley is in the match as well. But next week, to determine one of those two final spots, it will be Candice LeRae, Meechan, Mia Yim, the returning Carmella, and Piper Niven. Those four will face next week with a spot in the Elimination Chamber. Now, I know, you know, Carmella has gone through some really rough medical issues, and we're happy that she's back. She made a brief appearance tonight on Raw, and it's nice to see her back. But outside of Carmella, I mean, Piper is just back from injury. Meechan, Mia Yim, okay, but I just feel like it's maybe a little bit premature. And Candice LeRae, I don't know. I just, something just doesn't click for me right now. Do any of those four truly deserve the opportunity to possibly face Bianca Belair at WrestleMania for the Raw Women's Championship? So to me, it's a little bit subpar. But again, I think the favorite right now is either Asuka or Becky Lynch. That final spot in the chamber is probably going to be the most important match of all with this. Now, as I said earlier, Carmella did make her return to Raw tonight, interviewed by Kathy Kelly. She's cutting her promos, her shtick. Mella is money, and she gets confronted by Asuka. No face paint, but she's got green teeth. And Carmella's looking at her like, ew, ew, what is that, ew? And if you look a little bit closer, Asuka, she's just got it dripping coming out of that mouth. Yeah, just dripping. So Asuka looked creepy as ever. So I think she could be the odds-on favorite to end up going to WrestleMania. One fall, as long as it's 5 seconds or less, I have no problems when it comes to video. Like I said, Royal Rumble, some of my clips were over 10 seconds, and that's a big no-no on YouTube. It's not WWE singling anyone out. It's algorithms. You know, I've talked about this on the show countless times. If anybody needs a little bit of a lesson on that, you podcast, and you don't know how it works, email me. Email me. I'm not going to do weekly tutorials because people don't tune in on a weekly basis. But I'll be more than happy to, you know, educate anyone out there. If you send me an email, I'll be more than happy to share it. So Carmella makes a return. It's nice to see. Oh, and someone else returned. And we'll talk about Chelsea Green a little bit later. I got to show you something. Oh, yeah. Let me ask you this question early on. Chelsea Green. Is she the next WWE Karen? Or is she the next WWE Carmella? Now, I'm not trying to throw shade on Carmella, but Chelsea Green showed up on Raw tonight. And I'll be honest with you, and I think anyone out there that has ever seen a Karen, you know, these, you know, mostly white women, you know, that just like, you have to look at the videos to understand it. Honestly, I have come across a lot of Karens personally in my lifetime. You know, you see them. I stand online in my father's deli. This happened last week. I'm standing online in my father's deli getting a turkey sandwich, and there was only two people behind the counter. And one of them actually does a wrestling podcast, and he works for my dad's store. I don't mention it publicly because maybe he doesn't want me to reveal him, but he's a good guy. He's a good guy. Hey, I know you're tuning in. If you want me to shout you out, let me know. Yeah, I just always thought you might want to keep it in the low. Yeah, there's a very popular wrestling podcast out there, and he works at my dad's store. But he's doing my turkey sandwich, and a woman shows up, and this guy is getting my turkey sandwich ready, and the other guy behind the counter is cutting chicken cutlets. And chicken cutlets take longer. You got to trim the fat, cut it in half. You got to slice them, pound them down. Wrap it. It takes 5-10 minutes. This woman shows up. She's literally there maybe a minute, 90 seconds. She's standing right next to me, and this is what I hear. Rattling her keys, like really impatient. that she's waiting there for 90 seconds. She's already complaining. That's a Karen. I don't see Karen videos where somebody says, give me $500 chocolates. Where is my posh water? Where is this? That's not a Karen. If that's WWE's in thinking of what a Karen is, that's not a fucking Karen. That's what Carmella was. You know, that we needed a Reggie being a butler and giving me champagne and giving me hors d'oeuvres and giving me this. Chelsea Green was not being a Karen tonight. That is ridiculous. And I hope WWE does not continue that. I don't know who the fuck came up with that today, but when I saw that, I'm like, hey, I'm glad Chelsea Green is there. I have a little video that I'm going to share with you later of what I think a Karen is and what I think they should do with Chelsea Green. It's going to upset a few people. This video I show you in a little while is an idea that I thought of. It's going to upset some people. That's where I think they should go with Chelsea Green. But I think Chelsea Green is acting more like a Carmella than a Karen. So we'll go back to Chelsea Green after we do the Raw recap. I'll show you the video. But so anyway, someone else returned tonight. And this was fun because we just talked about him, 48 hours ago? Was it Friday night show or was it Sunday's? We just had the conversation about Rick Boogs. And remember, I couldn't think of his name. And he fucking showed up today. Miz is in the ring wearing a suit. He's complaining to the WWE Universe and Adam Pearce that, you know, how come he doesn't get this? Why is he not in the chamber? Why is he not getting a qualifying match? Blah, 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 blah. And Adam Pearce comes out. He's like, I got an opponent for you tonight. And he announces his opponent. And Rick Boogs comes out. And he's on the mat. And I love Miz's look. Look at Miz. Like, what the fuck is that? But Rick Boogs, I mean, is he trying to be a little bit of the Ultimate Warrior? I mean, I know some of you out there saw, you know, like the tassels on his boots. But even the way that he was like when Miz was hitting him, WWE, please don't do that with this guy. I beloved the Ultimate Warrior. I've never left the bandwagon, but Rick Boogs is not. No. But Rick Boogs comes back. Miz is like, I can't fight. I'm in a $10,000 double-breasted suit. Didn't we just have that like a month and a half ago? That he puts Miz in a match and he can't wrestle because he has a suit? And didn't, like, one of the shoes go flying, and we found out Miz don't wear socks with his shoes? Anyway, Rick Boogs manhandles him, tossing him like a salad. Just tossing him like a salad. Yeah, just tossing him like a salad. And, yeah, there you go. He gets the win, beats the Miz just like that. Of course, you know, the Miz. By the way, I heard the Miz is on Pictionary this week, and I heard that he actually drew a penis. I have the screenshot. Somebody sent it to me earlier, but I don't have it for tonight's show. But if you want to go check it out, I was looking at, I didn't even know Pictionary still was a show, and fucking Urkel was on it recently. Urkel was on it. So Miz is on, I think Xavier Woods might have been on it as well. So Rick Boogs is back. Rick Boogs is back. How do you like this one? If you missed Raw tonight, the Maximum Male Models and Maxine Dupree, they're looking at Otis. My friends, Otis might be your next Maximum Male Model. I know someone is probably going to write somewhere like Vince McMahon's giving creative input. This is a Vince McMahon thing. If you missed it earlier, after Chad Gable's loss, Otis walks by and just look at the reaction. There you go. Watch.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So we'll go back to that so we don't get any copyright issues. But so Otis walks by. Maximum Male Models are standing there. Maxine Dupree is there as well. And they're just looking at him. And Marseille is like, that's grotesque. And Mansoir is, that's disgusting. And what does Maxine Dupree say? Well, you see for yourself.
Oh,
no, I got the Spanish language. Motherfucker. I got the Spanish version. Son of a bitch. Well, anyway, one says, that's grotesque. That's disgusting. That's perfect. Maxine Dupree thinks, maybe I won't get hit with copyright because it's Espanol! Espanol! Chochaweina! Chochaweina!
Es grotesco.
Perfect.
Es perfecto.
Es perfecto. Muy de perfecto. Otis is going to be a maximum male model. Could you see it already? I will not lift my shirt. Why do I look very short today? I look very short. By the way, Sami Zayn, unfortunately, will be removed from the wall tomorrow because he is no longer a member of the Bloodline. I'm going to put Brian Pillman in his place. Very cool photo. That will go in place of that. I had like 17 requests like, hey, can I have the picture? No, no. You know, go online and buy one yourself. You know, maybe we'll do a giveaway. But no. No, I got the picture because I like it. No. No. So, anyway. So, Otis might be a maximum male model. Oh, that's going to be wonderful. All right. Let's talk about the qualifying matches for the other Elimination Chamber match. We found out today that the men's Elimination Chamber match will be for Austin Theory's United States Championship. The question now is, will Bobby Lashley be in the Elimination Chamber? And the answer, unfortunately, is nah, it ain't happening. Which makes the segment that we got tonight with the MVP Lounge even more confusing. Was it designed just for Austin Theory to make even more John Cena references? Because MVP has his lounge. He brings out Austin Theory, and he's kind of like giving him some compliments, giving him some shots as well, talking about the Elimination Chamber, how he's hiding his fear. And MVP brings up that he faced The Undertaker in the chamber, was tossed off the top of the chamber, blah, 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 blah. And he keeps bringing up Bobby Lashley. And, you know, MVP is not officially managing Bobby Lashley again. So as I'm watching this, I'm thinking to myself, are they going to put Bobby Lashley in the Elimination Chamber? And as far as I know, no. So they're going back and forth and back and forth. Next thing you know, Bobby Lashley's music hits. Austin Theory's looking at MVP, and MVP's like, I had nothing to do with this. Bobby Lashley comes out. MVP stops him. And, you know, Austin Theory, being the wisest that he is, he looks at, you know, Bobby Lashley. He's like, yeah, that's all right. You know, listen to your daddy. And MVP is like, what is motherfucker is he? He's like, nope. And he backs off and he lets Bobby Lashley beat the shit out of Austin Theory. However, Bobby Lashley went for a spear at Austin Theory. Austin Theory pulled MVP in front of him. Bobby Lashley spears MVP. Which was kind of funny because after he speared him, like he looked and he was like, ah, fuck. But he immediately like pointed at Austin Theory and he like just acted like he didn't even spear MVP. But during that promo exchange between MVP and Austin Theory, Austin Theory was talking about he is the aggressiveness of the new generation and no amount of aggression could stop him. Ruthless! Aggression. So more John Cena references. This is going to continue until John Cena returns. John Cena will probably throw in his face. You're this. Using all my phrases. You know, you want to be John Cena, which was kind of funny because we found out that Cody Rhodes also wanted to be John Cena many years ago when he cut his opening promo. But before we talk about Cody and we fill in the blanks with a few other things. So we find out Elimination Chamber, qualifying matches, and it's going to lead to the match at Chamber for Austin Theory's United States Championship. So the three qualifying matches that we found out today were Seth Rollins against Chad Gable. And this match was a hell of a lot of fun, but unfortunately, if you pay close attention, Chad Gable eats loss after loss after loss. So Seth Rollins, great match with Chad Gable. Seth Rollins gets the win. Seth Rollins is in the Elimination Chamber. Another match tonight, Johnny Gargano versus Baron Corbin. And this match was a lot of fun. I mean, it's obviously stupid comedy humor, but Dexter Lumis is alongside Johnny Gargano. JBL is alongside Baron Corbin. They're having a competitive match in the ring. And then JBL, you know, is at ringside, and Johnny Gargano's at ringside as well. JBL gets pissed off at Johnny Gargano, rips off part of the announcer's table, commentator's table, and Dexter Lumis shows up. And Dexter Lumis pulls out an axe, pulls out a metal axe. And it was real. It was real. So JBL is like, yeah, okay. And he backs off, and Dexter Lumis proceeds to take the axe and literally smash it over JBL's head, and it gets stuck in the commentator's table. So Dexter Lumis has the axe. JBL is freaked out. Baron Corbin is distracted for a few moments, and the next thing you know, Johnny Gargano defeats Baron Corbin. So Johnny Gargano advances to the Elimination Chamber. Again, you know, a lot of comedy, but, you know, it worked. But again, you see, like, how Dexter Lumis is being used. And, you know, it didn't click as much as WWE had hoped for. And how is this going to advance him even further? I don't think WWE banked on him just being a comedy lackey with all of this. If Sanity still makes their return, which I believe they will, if Nikki Cross goes after Candice LeRae, you know, then we may see Sanity going up against Gargano and Lumis. Maybe we could start getting Lumis a little bit more. That's why I don't want Indy Hartwell on the main roster. I don't want, as much as I love NXT, as much as I support it, as much as I love the Index stuff, I don't want to see it on the main roster, because I know the WWE Universe and droves are not going to dig it, because the wedding is already happened. Their return brief kiss before Dexter Lumis was arrested, that's already happened. So all of the moments that would lead up to it, it's already happened. So how's the WWE main universe, the people watch the main product, how are they going to get behind that? I just don't see it. I'll be honest. I just don't see it. Another qualifying match tonight. And, yeah, this one was obviously extremely predictable. Bronson Reed defeating Dolph Ziggler. Now, yes, Dolph Ziggler not in the Royal Rumble. Dolph Ziggler losing the Elimination Chamber opportunity. You know, everybody's like, bump machine. But Dolph, you know, maybe he's just pulling, you know, taking a little bit of a respite, pulling back on his career a little bit, maybe a little more part-time than anything else. Bronson Reed with an impressive victory. Unfortunately, my friends, I know there's a very, very tiny bit of the IWC on social media that are very loud about Bronson Reed. The WWE Universe have not clicked with Bronson Reed. The guy's a huge motherfucker. The guy is great in the ring, very agile, loved his NXT stuff. But again, he might be a guy designed more for as a big fish in a small pond than a big fish in a big pond, because there are other big fish as well. And Bronson Reed, unfortunately, crowd, you know, when he goes wild, the crowd goes mild. It's not his fault. You know, you just can't be 400 pounds and, you know, Miz uses you as a bounty. Ooh, instant heel. Then he says to Miz, oh, it's just business, and teasing like he's going to hit Miz. Ooh, instant baby face. Yeah, you can't play with the fans' emotions with someone that they're not emotionally invested with in the first place. You know, when you got someone like Kevin Owens. Look at Kevin Owens over the last couple of years. Kevin Owens is a babyface, and then one day he just showed up and trashed the crowd, and crowd is booing him. And then not too long after that, you know, he's back to being a tweener and a babyface. Like, Kevin Owens is so good, and the fans are so emotionally invested in him, and they dig him, that he could play both sides of the coin, and the fans will enjoy it no matter what. You know, Bronson Reed does not have that luxury yet. When you make it, then you can actually do something with it. Right now, it's not clicking at all. But as a result of Bronson Reed winning, these are your spots already filled with the Elimination Chamber. You got, obviously, Austin Theory, who is the champion. You got Seth Rollins, Johnny Gargano, Bronson Reed. They all qualified tonight. So now we have two spots still open. Now, earlier I told you on the women's side, we had only one qualifying match next week. So the other one will probably be the following week. So next week we get both qualifying matches on the men's side. Would you like to know who is filling those two spots? Well, one qualifying match is Angelo Dawkins versus Damian Priest. Okay. All right. Well, not bad. I think after how Raw ended tonight, you know, maybe Damian Priest is in there. I think Damian Priest might be involved in another match at Elimination Chamber. But that's one qualifying match. The other qualifying match is Montez Ford versus Elias. And if you look at this lineup, it almost feels like either Austin Theory retains or Seth Rollins wins the United States Championship. And I honestly don't feel like Seth Rollins is going to go into Mania as the United States Champion. I just don't feel it. But that's pretty much your Elimination Chamber lineup. So what you see on your screen, add to it out of two spots. It's either going to be Angelo Dawkins and Montez Ford, Damian Priest or Elias. You know, it just, I don't know, feels a little weak on my part. I mean, I know Johnny Gargano and Bronson Reed have history. They have history. But I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this. I think it comes down to either Theory or Rollins. And I wouldn't be surprised if the final two people, and that shows you Bobby Lashley is not in it. Unless somebody gets taken out or somebody can't compete. Because look what happened with Ricochet and Braun Strowman last week. You know, I don't want to repeat what we talked about Friday night, but it was laughable to see Drew McIntyre and Sheamus, you know, chopping each other, beating each other up, banger after banger after banger after banger. And they want the Usos more than anything else. And they forfeit their spot because the Viking Raiders chased them to the back. You know, I was just kind of goofy. It's not their fault. It's WWE creative. But just like that, Ricochet and Braun Strowman are probably going to get a title shot. And they weren't even in the tournament. So just because Lashley's not in this chamber qualifying now doesn't mean it's not going to end up that way. So though, that's pretty much what you're looking at now with the chamber. Now, something else that may happen at the Elimination Chamber is Edge and Beth Phoenix versus Rhea Ripley and somebody else. Probably Finn Balor, especially since Damian Priest, if he qualifies for the chamber, obviously Damian Priest. And the more you think about it, it makes sense, that scenario. If Damian Priest qualifies, that leaves Finn Balor, Rhea Ripley, and Dominic Mysterio available for Elimination Chamber. You put Finn Balor and Rhea Ripley in a mixed tag match against Edge and Beth Phoenix, and you have Dominic Mysterio being the annoying mosquito at ringside that keeps getting his ass involved. And I think that could be, it's not going to be a WrestleMania match. You know, a lot of us thought that that could be a Mania match, but now with Rhea Ripley getting the title shot at Mania, she ain't going to work double duty. And that would be ridiculous. You know, you may end up seeing Rhea Ripley the next to last match of one of those nights at Mania. You know, I don't think she closes out Mania, but she will likely be the next to last match. So this is probably going to be an Elimination Chamber match. And obviously, you know, if you saw my thumbnail for tonight, we talked about this during the Royal Rumble review. Do I have my thumbnail available yet? Yeah, I could pull it up. Somebody who is at the Royal Rumble got a screenshot of, yeah, here it is, of the Elimination Chamber poster. Now, the poster has not been revealed as of yet. So you could do Google searches until tomorrow. You will not find it. I took the best photo image that I could find. And that's another thing. If you Google it and look at the two people with the cell phone that took a picture of it, I mean, does it take that much? Does it take that much effort to literally grab the fucking camera? And if the poster is right in front of you, you can't just like position yourself and just snap it really good. What the fuck do these people do? What are they using? I mean, are you using 110 film? I mean, you look at it, it's like somebody that's fucking dyslexic. Well, not dyslexic, that's reading. Somebody who's fucking half blind. I mean, I tried my hardest to make it look good. But Sami Zayn is shown at the chamber like trapped. He can't get out of it. So people saw that and they ran with it that, oh, you know, Sami Zayn is going to face the bloodline. You know, maybe not Jey Uso, but he's going to face the bloodline. And we talked about that, I think, yesterday. And we were like, but that doesn't make sense. If Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are in a chamber match against, let's say, the Usos and Solo Sikoa or Roman Reigns, Jimmy Uso and Solo Sikoa, you know, what happens if Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn get eliminated right away? You got three members of the chamber left. What are they going to do, fight each other? They're not fighting each other. It doesn't make any sense. So everybody and their mother now knows it's going to be Roman Reigns against Sami Zayn at the Elimination Chamber. My friends, it's in Montreal, Canada. This isn't rocket science. You could be the worst of the worst with wrestling news journalism. Oh, look, Montreal, Canada. Who's from Canada? You don't think so? Come on. It's crazy. It's so obvious. Roman Reigns versus Sami Zayn and Elimination Chamber. The thing is, though, will the titles be on the line? You would almost think like they have to as the marquee. But Cody Rhodes is facing Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. I mean, they're not diverting from that. And here's the thing. I know a lot of you are going to say, but hear me out with this, okay? If you put the titles on the line at Elimination Chamber, you know who's going to win. There's not even a question. Or Roman Reigns gets disqualified, which would piss off, I think, a lot of people as well. But if the titles are not on the line, of course, you're not going to have Sami Zayn break up Roman Reigns' streak of not being pinned. You know it's not going to happen, but it will put some doubt in some fans' minds. Hey, the titles are not on the line. Sami Zayn could pin Roman Reigns on this one. You know, maybe that's why the titles are not on the line. Maybe they're going to have Sami Zayn pin Roman Reigns. Maybe Kevin Owens shows up, gives Reigns a stunner, and Sami Zayn wins. He gets, you know, the win, and he wins the battle, but he doesn't win the championships. So I think I think that's a lock, but until they announce that the titles are on the line, you know, let's hold off on that. Let's wait until it's official. But that's a pretty strong lineup. When you think about it, you get Edge and Matt Phoenix versus Finn Balor and Rhea Ripley with the Mosquito, El Mosquito at ringside. Yeah, that's fun. You got the two chamber matches. You know, the women's side, I think we know it comes down to Asuka and maybe Becky Lynch. And the United States Championship, you know, it's either Theory retaining or Seth Rollins as a possibility. And then you add one or two matches to it. I don't know if the Usos have a match at the Elimination Chamber. Those guys have been working so much. You know, they didn't even need to have a match at the Royal Rumble. And by the way, we touched on this briefly Saturday night. But man, I can't believe this is not a major story right now. You would not believe how many people lost money betting on Sami Zayn winning the Royal Rumble, being in the final four in the Royal Rumble match. Motherfucker wasn't even in the match. And because of all of these goofballs, you know, writing, my sources tell me that Sami Zayn is in the Rumble and he could win it and this and that. And he's fucking, you know, Vegas or whatever it is that put up the bets, Sami Zayn started becoming a trend that even my own predictions contest, people were predicting Sami Zayn in the Rumble. And I'm like, oh, you poor bastard. You know, he ain't in the Rumble. It makes no sense for him to be in the Rumble. And a lot of people lost money. They lost money because they were betting on that shit. Sami. And no, it didn't happen. And there's no fraud involved because it's sports entertainment anyway. You know, it's sports entertainment. All right. Speaking of the Royal Rumble, check this out. Royal Rumble makes history, and I'm going to add a little stat to this that nobody has right now, but I did a little research myself, is the largest audience in Royal Rumble history. As far as the sponsorship revenue, they boosted up their revenue, which was a record last year. They boosted their revenue by 200%. You could thank Mountain Dew for that, and I'm convinced Hardy you could thank as well. I personally think Hardy paid WWE. Like, can I perform? Can I be part of it? I'll give you $1 million. I don't know. Just my opinion. 200 million video views across platforms. 200 million. Their merchandise sales were up 135% compared to last year's record. And some of the merchandise counters were sold out at the Royal Rumble. And check this one out. Royal Rumble's gate, the money that they made, almost $8 million. $8 million at that gate. Peacock, check this out. Peacock's viewership was up 45% compared to last year, which was a record. Now, yeah, they haven't been on Peacock that many years, but nobody pointed out that last year's Royal Rumble was up 52% from the year before. So when you realize it, in a matter of 2 years, WWE doubled their viewership when it comes to this. 200 million video views. Now, that doesn't mean 200 million people saw the Royal Rumble. You know, I could have watched 20 clips. And I count for 20 views. But that's still, I mean, when you also think about there's advertising money involved here, how many fools ended up getting hit with strikes on YouTube and they lost ad revenue? You know, they didn't, you know, I'm talking about people that played the whole Rumble in the background. You know, just because they had a little tiny thumbnail, they thought, oh, that's okay. You can't see it without a magnifying glass. No, you still get fried from that. So you got to be really careful. So, you know, this is why they set those records. And again, you know, people were really, really upset that they announced Cody Rhodes in advance. But no, you wanted fans, because I guarantee there were a lot of people that tuned in to see Cody Rhodes. A lot of people tuned in to see him win. You know, finish the story. That is going to be the name of their video. If Cody Rhodes dethrones Roman Reigns for those championships, which all signs say yes, when they do the special WWE special of Cody Rhodes, his rise to the championship, you're going to see a lot of dusty clips. You're going to see him back in OVW. You're going to see him as dashing. You're going to see him here. You're going to see him there. You're not going to see AEW footage, but you're going to see him to the injury, to the rehab, finish the story. And the story will be finished with him winning the championship. Tears shed across, press conference afterwards, tributing his dad. No one in the room, you know, dry eye in the room. No dry eyes in the room. This is, I know it might be a little bit too predictable, and it might be too, you know, the story is not, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I mean, finish the story. You're not going to have it go to this level. This is not the Street Profits SummerSlam. So even though this might be a little bit more of a predictable story than anything else, still, what led up to it, it's a great story. And yeah, he will finish the story. Then after Mania, it gets even more interesting because now you got number one contenders. And yeah, you might revisit Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes again. I know a lot of people are kind of sick of it. And you know what I say to those people? Why? They had fucking banger after banger after banger. I mean, people are clamoring for Gunther versus Sheamus 3 at Mania. Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes faced each other 3 times already. So if Gunther and Sheamus face each other at Mania, people are going to say, oh, no, I don't want no more than that. No more than that. I'm full. Don't give me no more. So Seth Rollins could end up beating Cody Rhodes for one of those 2 championships. And Seth Rollins not only finally gets a win on Cody Rhodes, but gets a championship in the process. So Cody Rhodes, I think, look, you know what's interesting about it? I just thought about this. just thought about this. This might actually stick with all of you out there. Because I noticed in the last 48 hours or 72 hours, I made some remarks on these shows. And some of you out there, you're very, very cute, and I respect that. But, you know, going out there and writing and trying to get 1,000 likes and writing word for word what I said on these shows, one of the ones that I think was most obvious was, you know, about Ricky Starks being backstage at the Royal Rumble. The wrestling community, you know, there is a wrestling community. Just the internet wrestling, IWC is not part of it. The IWC is the only people who claim that everybody's in a community, like we're extended family, and we're not. Because everybody calls, not everybody, but a lot of people call each other out on shit. You know, AEW's got to be this, or WWE's got to be this. Then I see the most ridiculous stuff now, like, what does AEW have to do to catch up to WWE? That's moronic. That's stupid. It's not even, why even go there with that? You know, but I'll say this. Think of Dusty Rhodes when he was NWA champion. I've told this many times over the years. I love Dusty Rhodes. I have so much memorabilia of his. In fact, I got something for the wall that I'm going to put up. But the thing is this. Dusty Rhodes was not one of the greatest NWA champions of all time. He is one of the greatest NWA wrestlers, performers of all time. And the reason why I say he is not one of the greatest NWA champions of all time is because his reigns were very, very short. Go add up, what do you have, 3 title reigns? Go add up the number of days. One was weeks. So you add up the number of days. Dusty Rhodes was special, contending for the title, fighting for the title, chasing the title. Once he got the title, he would drop it in a matter of, you know, no time, because everything about Dusty was pursuing the championship. Now, I'm not saying that Cody Rhodes is going to have very, very short reigns. But Cody Rhodes, you know, once he wins this championship, you know, don't be surprised if he kind of follows his dad's footsteps and may actually drop one in a short amount of time. And again, if you think what I'm saying is ridiculous, look it up. I'm just talking about stats. He's one of the greatest performers of all time. But as far as heavyweight champion goes, his reign was too short. And that's because Dusty was money more pursuing the championship, not being the champion. Cody, it's a little bit different, though. Fans want to see him with the championship and keep it. So, all right. So we've talked, believe it or not, we've talked about majority of Raw already. We already talked about all the other matches. Let me just fill in a couple of more things. Cody Rhodes tonight faced Finn Balor. And when they opened up Raw tonight, Cody Rhodes recapping the Royal Rumble. You know, he opens up with his shtick. So what do you guys want to talk about? And he says that since there's somebody new watching WWE every day, and he repeats some of his things, which is, you know, it's smart, intelligent. And he talks about how he remembers showing up in OVW many years ago, thinking that he would be WWE champion within 2 years. He would be the next John Cena. I think the crowd didn't know how to react to that. Like, they kind of like booed it because maybe they thought Cody was being derogatory to Cena, but he was not trying to be. He was just saying he thought he was going to be the next Cena. So the crowd was kind of funny because they didn't know how to react to that. But he says, you know, he wonders what he would tell his younger self if he could write him a letter. And Cody starts reminiscing about his career. He talks about, you know, when he got the Intercontinental Championship, his goal was to restore its glory. He talks about being dashing. He talks about painting his face. He never in a million years ever think that the woman who would announce him and other people's matches, you know, introduce them, would end up becoming his wife. He never thought that he would lose his 292-pound best friend, which is Dusty, and then welcome in his child. And he just recaps everything. Of course, not going to mention AEW. There's no disrespect intended there. I saw some people online get really, just shut up. So Cody Rhodes says he wouldn't change a damn thing. Where he's at now, he wouldn't change a damn thing. He talks about wrestling having more than one royal family. He says from now to WrestleMania, 62 days. And that is 62 days of Cody Rhodes, the rest of Cody Rhodes' life. And he said, and he starts complimenting Roman Reigns. His Roman's name, as soon as he mentioned Roman, he booed out of the building. That carries over from the Royal Rumble. Roman, beautiful. Beautiful, because that guy was getting pops and cheers the last bunch of months. People identify that Roman right now is the biggest heel in wrestling. You know, I know what some people are going to say, MJF, but Roman right now, biggest heel. You know, so he gives a lot of respect to Roman. And he says, you know, after WrestleMania, you'll be the head of the table. You'll still be the tribal chief. You'll still be bloodline. But what you won't be is WWE, unified WWE Universal Champion. Cody said it just like that. And that was a sign to everyone is Cody, they're fighting for both belts. They're fighting for both belts. Judgment Day comes out there. And Dominic being funny, he was supposed to win the Rumble. And, you know, he wants an apology from Cody. And Finn Balor throwing shade at Cody as well. And the crowd is chanting, kick his ass to Dominic. And Cody is, you know, letting the fans get into it a little bit. And then Cody plays into it. He says, you know, do you want me to kick his ass? And the next thing you know, Edge shows up. Edge shows up, lays out Finn Balor, gets into it a little bit with Dominic. Cody Rhodes gets into it with Finn Balor at ringside. And I think that was to not only divert this a little bit, but I think a lot of fans thought we were going to get Cody Rhodes versus Dominic Mysterio. But Finn went after Cody a little bit. Cutting his promo, throwing some shade to Cody, going back to the Bullet Club days. You know, you've been stealing things from me my entire career or whatever. You know, he cut a promo later on saying, reiterating some of the same things. So we find out later on that Cody Rhodes is going to be taking on Finn Balor tonight. Not Dominic Mysterio, but he'll be taking on Finn Balor. They had an excellent match. Unfortunately, it started late. The match started around 10:45 p.m., so there was only about 15 minutes left in Raw. But they really amped it up a notch. Finn Balor versus Cody Rhodes, you see how smooth they work in the ring. Gives you kind of like shades of Seth Rollins. I mean, they really work well. I think a rematch absolutely should be in order. And, you know, again, Chamber is probably going to be Beth and Edge versus Finn and Rhea Ripley. And if that happens, probably Finn and Rhea Ripley are going to get this win. I don't think you could have Rhea Ripley lose before Mania, unless Charlotte shows up somewhere and Rhea gets distracted and gets a fruit roll-up and loses. I think that's the only way you see Rhea Ripley lose between now and WrestleMania. But Finn Balor and Cody Rhodes, 15 minutes, went at it. Judgment Day was at ringside. There was a couple of moments where Cody got knocked outside the ring and Judgment Day is circling him like they're going to do something. And towards the end of the match, when Cody got tossed outside, next thing you know, you see the crowd. They're looking at something. Damian Priest turns around and he runs to, jumps over the barricade and starts charging. Here comes Edge once again at the end of the night. Edge comes out, starts brawling with Damian Priest, lays out Dominic Mysterio. Once again, Rhea Ripley shows up. She puts hands on Edge. And I can't believe, again, people cannot be that stupid. I think they just do it just for hits. You know, I saw so many trending conversations today about WWE bringing back intergender wrestling. Rhea Ripley's going to fight the men and this and that. It's not happening. You see it. It's obvious. We're talking about it the night she took on Tozawa. The men cannot lay a hand on her. The closest you will ever get is Rey Mysterio landing at 619. And guess what? That ain't happening in Mania either, because Rhea Ripley, unless Rhea Ripley main events night one, or is a semi-main event of night one, and then Rey and Dominic is night two, and Rhea is by, you know, Dominic's side. That's the only time I see Rhea Ripley getting hit in any way, shape, or fashion by a male. But she lays hands on Edge once again tonight. But, yeah, it's kind of a repeat of the Royal Rumble. Here comes Beth Phoenix. Boom! Boom! Nice spear. Nice spear. She's funny when she's angry. She looks like me when it won't come out when I'm in the bathroom. If you look at her face, she's like, She doesn't just like show anger. She shows fucking constipated anger. She runs down there. And look, she is there. And Finn Balor is a little bit distracted. Finn Balor ends up eating three of Crossroads. So we had the three amigos. Now we get the three Crossroads. And Cody pins Finn Balor. Edge and Beth Phoenix ecstatic at their work tonight. This has got to lead to something in Elimination Chamber. You know, I don't think Beth Phoenix wrestles at WrestleMania. I think Elimination Chamber. And think about this. Isn't Edge from Canada as well? So you could have a... And Kevin Owens is from Canada, right? So you think about it. There's a lot of Canadian influence that will be on Elimination Chamber. And what's cool about it is pretty much everybody are baby faces for the most part. For the most part, Beth is in amazing shape. I absolutely agree with you. She looks tremendous. And you use Beth Phoenix in spurts, it works. It works. There is nothing wrong with it whatsoever. It's believable. That's the thing. You don't think I would have loved to see more legends from yesteryear in the Royal Rumble? Absolutely. But for some, it's a hard sell to even have a suspension of disbelief that they could do what they used to do. And I think for some of those women as well, I think even Booker T. I mean, Booker T physically looked in unbelievable shape, but you could see he can't lift the leg like he used to. And when he got eliminated, it was through the middle rope. You know, we always never want to let go of the legends who entertain us over the years. But at some point, look at Pat McAfee. Pat McAfee revealed today that he had an opportunity to be in the Royal Rumble match. And he felt, just cardio and physically, he felt that he wasn't there. And he didn't want to disrespect wrestling in the roster. I mean, that's top class, man. That's classy. I mean, he could have been in the Rumble for 5 minutes. And you mean to tell me Pat McAfee's not in shape to work 5 minutes? Of course he can. But he just felt that unless he would felt 100% he could go balls out, he wasn't going to take that spot. And you got to show a lot of respect for that. But Beth Phoenix, I have no problem with it whatsoever. And guess what? She keeps getting the upper hand for Rhea Ripley. You know, it buys into the idea of them having a match even more. So, you know, tonight's Raw was good. Let me tell you something. I know a lot of people felt like the hype into Raw 30 was very lukewarm those weeks leading up to it. Everybody was talking about that. Even the Royal Rumble, I think people felt, especially on Raw, that the Royal Rumble, the lead-in, the go-home Raw, I mean, yes, it was blended in with the 30-year anniversary, but those weeks leading up to it, it didn't feel like it was really strong leading into the Royal Rumble, and I think that's because everybody knew the Royal Rumble was going to be about Cody Rhodes winning, Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens, and what was going to happen with Sami Zayn. I think that's what was on everybody's mind. The Bray Wyatt stuff was advertising. You look, WWE even touted that they doubled their advertising revenue. You know, that's for investors. That's stockholders. Everything that they touted is investors. That's bigger resume. And let me tell you something. You look at WWE the last 2 years, especially the last 18 months, you know, that is very, very important because if WWE does get sold, you know, if they allow the WWE hierarchies that are there now, majority of them, to stay in power and let the wrestling people do the wrestling stuff and they just oversee the finances, WWE, you know, would remain to be in a good place. But, you know, you got to look at these, and these are absolute pluses. My God, here's another stat that's really not getting a lot of attention. Last Monday's Raw was the highest grossing Raw in their history. 30 years of Monday Night Raw, Attitude Era, Austin, Rock, Dia, everything. I mean, yes, prices were much different back then, but if you adjust for inflation, last Monday's Raw, highest grossing Raw in history. I mean, that's amazing when you think about it. So, but so that's pretty much Raw tonight. I'm looking on the list. We really didn't leave much out. Dakota Kai, there may be an injury there. There may not be. And Corey Graves said it early, but then when Bayley and Becky Lynch started cutting promos on each other to lead to next week's cage match, Bayley refused to fight Becky next week in a cage. So Becky says, okay, no problem. You know, watch what I do. She goes in the back and she pulls Dakota Kai out by the hair. Now, Corey Graves, a little bit earlier, said that Dakota Kai was injured. So Becky Lynch grabs a chair and threatens that she's going to chair bash, look like Dakota Kai's leg. And Bayley freaks out. She's like, all right. Next week, will you have your cage match? So it might be a minor leg injury for Dakota Kai. We hope that it's a minor injury. Or maybe they just said that because when Becky was about to chair bash her, in the back of our mind, oh, Dakota's already injured. She might even get more injured as a result. And she also laid out Io Sky in the back, supposedly. We did not see Rey Mysterio, even though Dominic and the Judgment Day said what we joked about on Saturday, that they took out Rey and they grabbed his mask, and that's why Rey didn't come out for his appearance. I think that's pretty much it. Yeah, that's pretty much it tonight. So that was your episode of Raw. It was a great show. And, you know, NXT tomorrow. Remember, we have NXT Vengeance Day this weekend. Now, I will be doing the sit-down Sunday night on normal schedule, and I will give you my quick thoughts about NXT Vengeance Day. I'm not going to do a special solo recap just for that, but we'll definitely discuss it on the sit-down episode. Tomorrow, they have the Dyad taking on Idris Inofi and Malik Blade. We have, Andre Chase and Duke Hudson would also be in that match. It'll be a spot for the four-way. I think the Dyad are going to be in there. We kind of feel like they're probably this, or the Schism, whatever you want to call it. I think they're the next in line for the titles. Veer Mahan and Sangha, they actually will be in the ring taking on the Kree brothers. Cora Jade versus Lyra Valkyria and Stevie Turner. She makes her debut coming in from NXT UK. And if you don't know anything about Stevie Turner, go on YouTube. There's some great footage there of her work. So another thing you might be interested in, all week this week, WWE is going to be celebrating the 20 years of Evolution. They issued a press release that all week is going to be Evolution Week, and they're going to show lots of footage. I mean, they're going to be really careful about the footage because, you know, styling and profiling, partying, making out with women in the limos, you know, they're not going to show everything, but they're going to celebrate 20 years, I shouldn't say 20 years, because Evolution hasn't been around for 20 years as a cohesive unit. It's a 20-year anniversary of the formation of Evolution. But I tell you, you know, it's amazing looking back at 20 years. 20 years already. My favorite pictorial moments is when one night they were at the Knicks game in New York City. And I'm looking at the photo and I'm like, do any of these guys truly like basketball? Like, maybe they do. But I remember in 03 when we were covering it, I think on the Minority Report, you know, we were like, they didn't look like they were into the, it just felt like WWE was like, hey, go out in public, get noticed, get some photos, you know, appearing together. And the funny thing is, if you look at how they're dressed here, I mean, they're a little bit more styling, but Triple H, you see them at the Knicks game and you see them at some events together, and they actually look, they dress almost identical every time around. But Evolution was good, man. I have all the themes from that song. Anybody that goes back that used to, you know, if anybody collected wrestling themes as a hobby, Evolution, they came out with so many different variations of it. And the first one was just the guitar solo. And I remember we got it and somebody got it from a live event, and they somehow cut out most of the crowd noise in the background. And I thought the first version was the best one. I mean, don't get me wrong, I like Motorhead and all that, but the guitar solo when they first created the song, Maybe on a sit down. Maybe I'll play a few seconds. I don't think it'll get striked because it's not one that WWE ever released. So, and I don't think Motorhead ever, you know, released it as well. So I don't think it would get. You know what I could do? I could probably put it as a private video and put it online and see what YouTube does when it runs through their algorithm. And if it clears the algorithm and I leave it up for a few days, then I know it's safe, you know, to put on the show. That's one thing you could do, too. You could test things to see if you're allowed. And as long as you keep it private, you don't share it, you know, you could put something online for your own enjoyment. So, with that said, I think we are almost done for tonight. This Wednesday, you know, pretty loaded card. I mean, predictable outcomes. You know, the Acclaim will be in tag team action. The fact that they didn't name their opponents, they'll probably beat like QT Marshall and Aaron Solo. Bryan Danielson versus Timothy Thatcher. I mean, that's going to be a good match, but we already know if Bryan Danielson loses, he doesn't get his title shot at the pay-per-view. So, of course, he's going to win. Jade Cargill is not losing her women's championship, so you know she's going to defeat Red Velvet. Konosuke Takeshita versus Brian Cage. With all due respect, I'm happy to see Brian Cage on Dynamite, but, you know, they keep putting Takeshita, you know, around Brian Danielson. I don't think he's losing that match. Darby Allin versus Samoa Joe for the TNT Championship. No holds barred means that we'll probably see Wardlow. Wardlow will probably get involved and he'll finally get an appearance after Samoa Joe cutting his hair. And then the wild card match, Hangman Adam Page versus Jon Moxley. You know, they're trifecta. What I found interesting about the banner for this week is usually they will tout a wrestler's AEW past, even if they're not champion. And when I saw them put Page's name and Moxley's name, like neither one says like former AEW world champion, which I found a little bit interesting. Rams fan says Wardlow is injured. Unless he's crippled in a wheelchair, with all due respect, why can't he come out there? And he's not. We're not asking him to wrestle. We're just asking him to maybe distract Samoa Joe. Maybe he just lays out Samoa Joe. You know, he could be injured, still get involved in a match. So we'll see what happens. But he's got to come back. I think the only reason why you do no holds barred, listen, you do no holds barred also because people want to see, you know, they want to see Sting do a move as well. Who knows? Sting may climb the rafters and throw a dive. There's no disqualification, no holds barred, no DQ. So we may see Sting do a spot tomorrow. You know, that guy, you know, when you do spots, you know, I can't speak for him, but trust me, when you play around wrestling and you train and you do a spot and it goes off well and you're not hurt and you got that adrenaline rush, it's like, you know, like a dog that jumps in a pool. You ever have a pet, a dog that like runs into your pool? I used to have a dog like that, and the dog would just over and over and over again run into the pool, you know, swim back, go climb back up, and then just run back into the pool and do it like 50 times nonstop. And you get kind of addicted to it. So we'll see. Mike from New York thinks Hangman Page is going to turn heel. Why? He's going to make amends with the Elite. I don't know if you noticed that like 2 weeks ago, and he said, you know, he has to amend some things with some people. He's probably going to realign himself with the Elite. So I don't see him turning heel. But it's interesting because Adam Cole is back, and he is acting like a babyface, but he has no interaction with the Elite. So it's going to be interesting to see where that dynamic goes, because no one is thinking about that aspect of it right now, but soon enough they will. Soon enough they will. We give a quick shout out to Chris Silver. Much love, Chris. Hope you're doing well. And I think that's it. We got into everything. I wanted to keep the show a little bit shorter today. We're at 75 minutes. So it's not that much of a shorter show, but, you know, we keep it a little tight tonight. We did an hour and a sit-down yesterday, and I got at least 20 emails from people saying, like, you know, love the shorter time, you know, got in one sitting, you know. And we had some awesome discussion yesterday. Awesome discussion. So, and a lot of what we talked about appears to be happening. And I'm telling you, you think about all the events. You think about Crown Jewel. You think about September with, you know, with WWE, and then you think about Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, Elimination Chamber, WrestleMania. I mean, yeah, there's that added excitement because Vince is no longer in creative, but they are on a roll right now. I mean, they are clicking on a lot of cylinders. And, you know, if you read between the lines, there's a lot of faces that are on TV that are kind of shaky right now. You know, if you really, really look closely, you know, I've said this before, several of the people at WWE, Triple H brought back, I don't know how well they actually are doing. It almost feels like people were brought back to be more enhancement talent than anything else. And you don't pay, listen, that's why you got to be careful about the NXT aspect of this. You know, people don't want to hear the straight up truth, but it is facts. You look at even here, I'll show you an example. You look at even here. This was, what year was this? This was 2021, not too long ago. And look at this NXT in your house. Okay, look at that NXT in your house. Okay, it's a cool item too. It's autographed by everyone. I never gave it away yet, but you have on this list, you got the Undisputed Elite, you know, when you really think about it. You got Karrion Kross, Pete Dunne, who is Butch, LA Knight, Cameron Grimes, Raquel Rodriguez, Ember Moon, Xia Li, Mercedes Martinez, Legado del Fantasma, Bronson Reed, MSK, and you look at that, Johnny Gargano, and it's a very expensive roster. And look at the ratings. Not even 700,000 viewers. Who in their right mind is going to have that kind of payroll for 700,000 viewers a week? So you bring some of these same names to the main roster, and some of those names, with all due respect, might be better suited for 700,000 viewers than 2 million on the main roster. And a lot of those names feel like filler more than anything else. I mean, we've talked about several of those talents already. You know, you bring some of them to AEW, sure. If you add a Bryan Danielson, you add a Jon Moxley, you add a Hangman Adam Page, you add a Kenny Omega, you add the Young Bucks, you would think you're going to draw a little more than 700,000. But a million is only 300,000 more. That is still a crazy high payroll. So, you know, just because a small, loud noise out there, you know, very, very passionate, doesn't necessarily mean, as far as the WWE main roster product, doesn't mean that they're fit for it. And it's not always just creative, can't figure it out. No, sometimes someone is better suited, like I said earlier about Bronson Reed. I'm not saying he's a failure, but he's been back now for what, 2 months, month and a half? And honestly, I don't think the fans are any more into him. And you even look at Dexter Lumis. Dexter Lumis was one of my favorites in NXT for a very long time. And you see him on the main roster. If Dexter Lumis was never put on the main roster again, I don't think anybody would really make that big of a deal about it. You know, so, and I don't think it's his fault. I think it's just WWE doesn't know what the fuck to do. You know, now you got Otis that's going to be a maximum male model. You know, see where it's going. But all right, I'm out of here. Hope you enjoyed tonight's show. If you're a member of our Patreon family, I will be on Patreon tomorrow night at 10:05 after NXT. I originally was going to take Wednesday off, but since it looks like I'm going to be recording that conversation with Misha Montana on Thursday, Wednesday should be still in play. So I'll be here Wednesday night. And I wasn't going to say this publicly, but I'm going to say it anyway. There's a certain podcast show, TV show, that I actually respect and enjoy. It's a wrestling show. It's on television. And apparently they're not a fan of Misha Montana, which is fine. I respect that. You know, not like friends. But, you know, this person went out of their way to say to me, oh, there's no reason for you to do this interview. Another place already interviewed her. Yet this show, their entire history on being on TV is interviewing people who have been interviewed thousands of times in their lifetime. You know, I'm having a conversation with her. I'm not having an interview. Sure, we're going to talk about some XPW stuff. We're going to talk about her health scares, you know, having heart surgery, the stroke. We're going to talk about Matt Riddle. We're going to talk about a few things. We're going to talk about mental health. We're going to talk about some of the reasons why the guy was off TV. We're not going to get too deep into it. It's not my place to get that personal. But, you know, we're having a conversation just so people get a feel as far as what's going on. And that's all it is. So for anybody to tell me, oh, you don't need to do it, someone else, I don't know. I mean, I just thought that was a little bit much, to say it nicely. So, all right, everyone, if you enjoyed tonight's show, you know what to do. And I want to thank you, as always, for the support. The last month, I'm not kidding, we've probably, I don't want to say doubled our audience, but the audio side is up about 45%. Here on video, it's up much more than before. Plus, people are hanging around for a lot longer, which is great. And I will always say to you, it's not kissing your ass. It's not pandering. I will always give you everything straight up. You know, if you stay away from the clickbait, if you resist the temptation of writing stuff just for hits and views, you see things clearly. And that's why from everything, from the WWE sale, the Mercedes AEW to, you know, everything with the Royal Rumble and Jay White, everything that people, every single thing that's been out there, we have gotten zero wrong. Everything. And only because you look at it with open eyes and you don't let that temptation sink in. And I think people are finally getting sick of the bullshit. I think people are finally realizing that even your most popular shows out there, you know, are lying to you intentionally just to pull you in. And I just find that a little disrespectful. But as the saying goes, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. You keep going back to the same people who keep lying to you over and over and over again, and you deserve to be lied to. And that's what I've always said. So I thank you, as always, for the support. It is appreciated very, very much. That's why I'm here. And hope you all enjoy the rest of your week. So I am officially 5-4-3-2-1 out of here.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.